When I first read our lesson this week from Romans, our second lesson, I have to admit to you, my inclination was to take it a bit too literally. It starts like this, remember. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And I thought, oh, hope, well, that's the name of this church. How about that? What a coincidence. And then, the lesson goes on, it talks about welcome and harmony and unity, and the Jews and the Gentiles and how they get along together. And then at the end it says this, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought, okay, hope is kind of the theme of this lesson. And so I wondered what hope Lutheran Church could learn from this lesson. I think it's a lot. So I thought, okay, well, let's see. This seems like a real, maybe this is God speaking to us more directly than I usually think happens. I think there's a lot that goes on in this lesson that does connect with us. It talks so much about welcoming people and the Jews and the Gentiles, people who are different from one another and how they get along. And I thought, what would this church be if we had not welcomed groups of people who are different than us? What would we be? And the answer is we wouldn't even be. We'd be long gone if we didn't have groups of people different than us that we had welcomed into our space. And so I thought, well, let's talk about that. Now, before we get too far into this, we have to do the obligatory caveat about anti-Semitism, because as with many, many other places in the Bible, anytime there's even a distinction drawn in the scriptures between Jews and Gentiles, somebody sometime has twisted that to become anti-Semitic, to be for Christians against Jews. But that's not at all what's going on here, so I'm just going to explain that quick, because it relates to what we're going to be talking about too. But again, it's clear, you know, we got to stop this anti-Semitism. Because Lutherans have been among the worst at that. I've told you about that before. We don't have to get into all the history. But the point is, Paul was writing to a community in Rome that was both Jews and Gentiles together. And there was some tension between the groups sometimes. The different people had different, you know, they ate different foods, they had some different rules, circumcision or not. And so there was some tension as to which ones sort of were the better, the truer, you know, followers of Jesus. Who was doing it right and who wasn't doing it right. And that happens in churches. So, what Paul wanted to write was that these groups are together. That's the main theme of the whole letter to the Romans, is that these groups of people work together. You can't really have one without the other. That's how the promises of God works. In my Jewish annotated New Testament, it put it this way. It said that this reading clearly highlights the interwoven destiny of Jews and Gentiles. And I like putting it that way. Jesus confirmed the promises God gave to Abraham and Israel. That's what this reading says, that early section about the circumcised and the promises. What it's saying is that Jesus came to confirm the promises that God had given to Abraham and Israel and all the other patriarchs, all the old things that had happened, that God would always be their God, that they would always be God's people, that God would never leave them, would never abandon them, and that their descendants would be, you know, as numerous as the stars and all the other promises. Jesus came not to remove those promises, but to confirm them, to say, yes, you will always be God's people. And Jesus also came to confirm the other set of God's promises, that through God's people of Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, all the Gentiles. I mean, that's what Gentiles basically just means, the nations. There was one of the commentaries I read this week talked about that, about how when it says the Jews and the Gentiles, I tend to start thinking of the Gentiles as a specific group of people in a time and place. But really what it means is all the people of every nation who are not the Jews. So God makes those promises to all people through God's chosen people of Israel. And so the second half of our reading today has four different quotations from the Old Testament that affirms this, that affirms God talking to and with and about the Gentiles and how they too can worship God and they can be welcomed into God's family. Four different, completely different places, when Paul says, as it is written, and again, and again, and again. That's the story that we are told through all the scriptures, that God continues steadfast in God's love of God's people Israel, and that through those people all the nations of the world will have access to God's love and grace and mercy. That's the idea. That's the plan. That's what Paul is trying to tell them. Therefore, there's no reason to have tension or strife between these groups, because God is there with all of them. That's why Paul is talking about harmony and unity. That's why Paul is talking about welcome. Welcome those who are different than you, because they too are a part of what God is doing in this time and in this place. All of us together are the body of Christ, Paul says. Now, in thinking about welcoming, and as I said, in this church, you know, we wouldn't even be here if we hadn't welcomed people from different groups. You know, think of the churches we have here. We have Hope Lutheran Church, the historic church here. We have Good Samaritan Church, which is a Hmong language congregation, right? The people generally are refugees from Laos, or their, you know, their children, their families. And so we have all those people. On Sunday afternoons now, we have Ebenezer Elim Church, which haven't been here only since last summer, but they're a Spanish language Pentecostal church. Their leaders are from Guatemala. Also dealing with a lot of the, you know, current political issues that you hear about in the news about refugees and asylum seekers and people who are coming to this country, various kinds of immigration. And then in our other building, of course, now the half school has moved out, and so we don't have that school there anymore, but we still have the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center. The American Indian School is still there. We're working on some other groups to rent that other space, and we'll see about that. And then, of course, in the basement, we have Heaven Citizenship Church, which is founded by West African immigrants. Father Pastor Francois is from Ivory Coast. And so lots of the people there are African descent, although they also have people from around the world at that church, and just from the neighborhood as well. So we have all these different churches and different styles and different languages being spoken and different things happening. And they all happen in the same place. And we, like we're saying, we're like the original Hope Lutheran Church people. We're the ones who originally did the welcoming, right? We're the ones who opened up for that. Hopefully we did that for reasons more than just self-preservation, right? Because financially we wouldn't have been able to hack it without all these things. But there's more to it than that. I talk with other pastors in the area about that a lot, about how all of our old Lutheran churches now, we have these great old buildings, not as many people as used to be here, trying to figure out what to do. We all have relationships where maybe we rent out to another church or another school or another entity. And we're all trying to figure out, first of all, how to be good landlords, but also how to be ministry partners with these people. How can we work together? How can we be more than just landlords? And that's a struggle that all of these churches are facing. Hope certainly being one of them. So we're starting to try to work on that and see what we can do together. You know, already Lutheran Church of Peace in Maplewood and us, we share an office person. Sarah, our office person, works 2 days a week here, 2 days a week down there. And so we're starting to try to combine our resources to be able to do more together, not just with the churches on our sort of campus here, but also with the other churches in the area facing the same issues. There's no way to do this stuff. There's no way to be the church today except together. No church can do it all on its own. I mean, I guess some try, and it lasts for a little while, but usually the shine wears off, and then things don't go that well. On Friday night, I had the opportunity to go to my alma mater, Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota, to their Christmas in Christ Chapel celebration. Mike, you got to go there also, he says. Yes, he did. His first time there, it was pretty exciting. We had a good time. You know how the Lutheran colleges have their Christmas things. Dennis, my father-in-law here, he attended three of them and then watched the Gustavus one online on the thing last night. So he's got the opinions on all the Lutheran college things and how they went this year, which is great. I will save my opinions about those things for another time. Except to say that this Gustavus one, it was particularly touching this year because their theme was love without borders. Thank you, love beyond borders. I'm glad that somebody's here to correct me when I get the preposition or whatever, when I get the description wrong. Love beyond borders. And so the decorations were all these maps or pieces of maps kind of cobbled together, some of them fashioned into great big doves of peace. And have you ever been to a thing like this where they have, you know, there's choirs singing and there's orchestra playing and there's all this different music and stuff and there's readings and Bible stuff. And then there's dancers. Have you ever seen this? with the dancers. Now, I'm generally pretty skeptical of the dancers. I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of this stuff over the years. And the dancing is usually like, oh, okay, it's fine, good for you. But this year, it was really good at this Gustavus one, because the theme of love beyond borders lends itself really well to dance that regular people can, like, understand. So the first big piece that had dance, they had groups of dancers coming through, and some of them were clearly meant to be, like, you know, late 19th century European white immigrant types. And then some of them, like, there was a whole group of Southeast Asian people that came through, and there was a whole group of, like, Hispanic people that came through, right? And then there were other groups of people coming through now, sort of in a modern, regular time. And then they started mixing those groups up, and throughout the whole show, these dancers kept coming back through various pieces of music and re-engaging. There was one part where my wife and I both teared up, but it was clear that they were the dancing was showing them, like, opening up a fence and crawling through, right? That real people do every day, not just going to this country, but all over the world, because migration is a central part of what it is to be a human. Right? People are always going to places for better opportunities, for more safety for their families. That's all. It's always been that way. I mean, the Bible is full of it. And the story of the Gustavus show also talked about how it went through in the Gospel of Matthew, and reminded me, at least, that Matthew is the gospel that tells the story of when Jesus was a refugee. When Joseph and Mary had to take baby Jesus and flee to Egypt for the first years of his life, that he too was a refugee to escape the violence that Herod was trying to bring. Herod was trying to kill him. And Herod did slaughter lots and lots of children searching for Jesus, but he failed to get Jesus because they had been warned, and so they escaped to another country. That's exactly like so many families today, trying to escape the violence in their own land to keep their families safe, so that maybe they can come back one day. Maybe they have to go find a new homeland to be safe in. So many of our neighbors and our partners here at Hope have gone through those same things. And for that matter, so many of our ancestors here have gone through the same things. You know, needing to leave a place because it was no longer the best for their family. And that's how all of our ancestors got here, one way or the other. Although some, you know, obviously, important to note that there are the Native American peoples who have been here the whole time, and also important to note those particularly from Africa, who were enslaved and brought to this country against their will. But in this room, most of us are white people, and most of our ancestors came here voluntarily, seeking better lives for their families. So back to my initial overly literal interpretation of our reading from Romans today. It's all about hope. And it's all about how this welcome and this unity and this speaking with one voice, even in our diversity, to God will bring hope to the people, bring hope to the church. So some of the things we're doing here to build partnerships with these other churches, with these other groups, today at 1:00, I'm saying this so that I remember to show up. we're going to try to have a meeting of the pastors from the four churches, which would be, if we all show up, it'll be the first time the four of us have met and talked. And when it was suggested last week, Pastor Francois said, oh, we're going to do that every week? So they all, well, hang on now. That seems like a lot. Let's hold up. Let's just try it once. But I would love to get together, you know, once a month and find out what's happening in the other churches and what's going on, and be able to share more ministry and to start building relationships, not just with the pastors, but with the whole churches. Also to that end, on put it on your calendar, right? On February 22nd, which is a Saturday, we'll be hosting a community conversation on implicit bias. And implicit bias is basically like mostly about like racial bias, right? So people who look different, who speak differently, and the implicit biases that we all have about like, oh, those different people, and how it sort of, even before we think about it, how it makes us feel. That's implicit bias, right? And how we react differently to different kinds of people. So a group out of Minneapolis called Restorative Justice Community Action uses a process called talking circles to do restorative justice work. And they found that it was helpful to expand that, to use these talking circles to talk about implicit bias. So we're going to be hosting one of their community conversations. It's open to the public, again, February 22nd, Saturday. And we're hoping to have people from all the different, you know, churches and schools here, as well as our neighbors, so that we can all get together and start to build relationships and start to have some common language about how we talk about our differences and how we experience our differences and how those experiences of difference don't have to keep us from building strong relationships. So that's the hope, is that that event will have people from all these groups so that we can get together and start to know each other and potentially use that as a stepping stone to begin to journey together, you know, to begin to build those relationships so that we can all see what we have in common, see what values we share, and see how we can support one another in our ministries and in our work for this neighborhood. Now, one final caveat that I will give for this sermon, in one of the commentaries that I read, a professor named Valerie Nicolay Anderson said about welcome, she said, the welcome Paul has in mind threatens the ones who offer it. The welcome Paul has in mind threatens the ones who offer it. And I think of it this way. We as Hope Lutheran Church are sort of the original welcomers in this space. And yet, we're certainly not the biggest church in this space. We're the landowners and we're the landlords and we sort of have power in that way. But if we tried to exert that power over these other groups, the relationships would crumble and nothing would work. Our position of sort of being the ye olde church here is, in a sense, threatened. Our position of power, our position of status. It doesn't work that way if we continue to think of ourselves as the church that was always here. And the way I think of it is, in order to truly welcome others, to truly build unity, we need to not only learn how to be gracious hosts, but also how to be gracious guests. We need to learn how to be welcomed by others. Larry, I think you're pretty good at that, actually. I'm less good at it, because I particularly, you know, the easiest way to be a gracious guest is to eat the food that other people give you. And I am the worst at that, all right? I'm the worst at it. You know, I mean, so I'm vegetarian or whatever, right? And sometimes I think the reason I'm vegetarian is so I have an excuse to not eat other people's food. And I'm not just talking, I like a lot of different ethnic foods and things, but I'm just kind of a picky eater, you know, I like to make my own food and I like to know what's in it and I like to do it my own way. And I've always been that way, and so that's the way that I am terrible at being a gracious guest, because I don't eat the food put in front of me. I've always been like that, my family, anybody. It's just something that I need help with, and I don't know that I'm going to change, but I do know that I need y'all to do better than me. And you do, when we have the dinners with Good Samaritan or whatever else. Y'all do much better than me. I came to the one, you know, the Thanksgiving one, and I basically hid my office most of the time. This is confessional time. Because there was very little of the food that I was going to eat. It was really busy, and there was no place for me to sit at the table, and I thought, I'll just, I'm just not always that good in those kinds of social situations. I'm not great at being a guest. It's something that I need to work on. And there's other ways in which it can be harder to be a guest than it can to be a host. Right? There's the vulnerability of being a guest. There's the lack of control, the not knowing what's going on. And that's something that we need to embrace as the people of Hope Church, that we need to be guests, not only of Good Samaritan, but also of Heaven Citizenship and of Ebenezer Elim, and really of our whole neighborhood, right? If we could learn how to be guests, if we could learn how to accept the hospitality of others, not just, well, we're the old church with the building, so we welcome them, and we're in charge, and we set the rules. If we can move beyond that into building true, authentic relationships, to me, at least, that's the hard part. And maybe it's the hard part for you, too. But it's something that I think we can do if we talk about it, if we're honest with ourselves and with one another about this. I think it's something that we can do. Because the thing is, that's the future of Hope Lutheran Church. And that's what Paul is describing as the cause for hope. The true welcome, the true unity, the true relationships across these borders, beyond these borders. That's the future of the church. And it's certainly the future of this church. So let's let God lead us in that way. Let's trust that the death and resurrection of Jesus gives us the freedom to really try these things. these things that are different, these things that are hard, these things that make us feel vulnerable, these things that are awkward. I think we can do it together. Amen.